All right, good morning, 99.7 DJX, Ben Davis and Kelly K Show. Hi there, Kelly K.
Hello.
Couple things. First of all, the polls are open, Election Day. Today, the polls are open until 6 p.m., and you have to bring a form of ID. It can be government issued or from a public college or university. So polls open until 6 p.m. today. So, Election Day today. And then I don't know if you saw this, but I kind of like all of, I mean, I don't like the fact that Matthew Perry died, right? But some of the stories about how committed he was to his character in Friends are kind of endearing coming out, you know?
Oh, everyone is just saying, you know, he made that character. There wasn't anybody that was more perfectly cast than him.
Right, right. And so, you know, when he and Monica, I don't know if you're very knowledgeable about the sitcom Friends.
Listen,
obviously.
I was in a wormhole last night.
Yeah, I bet.
Watching, like, because all the social media is just showing you all the best Chandler episodes.
Oh my gosh,
and I just went through.
I
was just scrolling. And then bloopers. They were showing you the bloopers. And just like, I was in a wormhole for a good, like, hour last night.
So Chandler, Matthew Perry's character, hooked up with Courtney Cox, Monica, right? And so they were an item. It was kind of a slow burn, and then they got together and it was a thing, right?
And everybody finding out was magical.
Right, exactly. And the way they revealed it to everybody was just so brilliant. The writing
genius.
Was fantastic. I know.
Yes.
And they kept it a secret from the rest of the cast, and not cast, but the rest of their friends for so long. But there was, I guess, a moment when the writers had written in there was going to be a fight and all this stuff, and Chandler was going to cheat on Monica. And actress that Chandler was supposed to cheat on Monica with finally kind of talked about the whole scene, how it came about. And if you're thinking, Ben, I don't think that ever happened in the show, you're right. And here's why.
The scene was Chandler and Monica were arguing, and initially in our script, Chandler ends up cheating on Monica with my character. We had rehearsed it and everything, and then the day before we were shooting in front of a live audience, I was told that Chandler went to the writers and said the audience will never forgive him for cheating on Monica.
Which that's true.
He was probably right.
Yes.
That would have changed possibly the course of the show and of his character.
Yeah. So, I mean, just the fact that he had that sort of, you know,
foresight,
foresight, and also just the commitment to his character, like, hey, look, guys, this is not something that this character would do. So
no, it's not. And he is absolutely right. The audience would have never forgiven him.
Nope.
Because once they got together, everybody bought into it and there was no going back.
Right, right. So it is, you know, it is obviously not a great thing that we are having to go down these wormholes because of his passing, but it is kind of nice to see some of these stories about.
To hear the backstory.
Yeah. That's kind of cool. So a lot of stuff to get to here on the show today. Phone taps, group therapies, tarantulas, showers.
Tarantulas?
Yes.
OMG.
I know. Golden toilets. I mean, we've got it all.
That is a lot. That's a lot of boxes to check off. Boxes that we didn't even know that we needed or had.
Well, you know, sometimes it just reveals itself.
Exactly.
70JX, good morning. Ben Davis, Kelly K Show. Kind of a sign of the times where, you know, it used to be every season, maybe CBS or one of the big networks would have the, it's the Great Pumpkin Charlie Brown or Thanksgiving Charlie Brown. You know, right around, you know, October, November, December, you'd have those Peanuts, those Charlie Brown cartoons that would be on TV, and you'd make it a point to, all right, this Thursday night or this Sunday or whatever, that's when it airs. So
we're all
going to
sit as a family and watch it.
Yeah, we're going to watch it. Now, I did see it on some streaming platforms, and so I put it on, and, you know, we watched The Great Pumpkin Charlie Brown. We had that on kind of in the background, whatever, and that was kind of cool. But I guess they are actually thinking about releasing a new feature film.
Oh, get out.
So, you know, there was The Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown. There is the Christmas. There's the Thanksgiving. But they're also going to release it on Apple TV. But An Adventure to the Big City. So
okay.
I don't know if we're following the kids, because they are kids.
Right.
In a sort of weird Home Alone 2 adventure to the big city. Like, I don't know.
Does that fit that world, though?
Well, I mean, hey, we'll find out.
I mean, only if the Red Baron flies them there. Maybe.
Oh, yeah, that's Snoopy's doghouse.
Yes.
Yeah, that he...
I don't know, but they have to still do the same kind of animation, don't they?
Yeah,
or
I think...
are we going to do this like a more high-tech animation kind of thing? Because I don't know.
I mean, I think you'll probably see a little bit more high-tech animation, but it'll be animated nonetheless. But new Peanuts feature film, first time in a long time, going to be following them on an epic adventure to the big city.
So. Do you think they'll go shopping for Pigpen? Get them dressed up, maybe.
Give them a bath first. Yeah, maybe. All right, so yeah, look for that on the way. And by the way, if you are interested, I think Apple TV or Apple Plus or one of those carries all of the Peanuts like holiday specials. So you can check that out if you want. All right, coming up next, we're going to get Kelly's juices going.
Brain
juices.
Thank you for clarifying.
That's a different thing altogether.
It is.
TheBenAndKellyShow.com.
Fun little game here on the radio with Kelly because, well, quite honestly, Kelly's fun to play with, right?
Oh, that's great. That's fantastic.
Right. All right. So this is called the Think Fast game. It's a very easy, simple game where all you have to do is you have to try to, off the top of your head, think of as the first thing that comes to mind, okay? So, for example, say, name a name that begins with the letter K.
Kelly.
There you go. See? How hard could
easy
that be?
Easy game. Let's end it there.
All right. Are you ready? We're going to put a little time on the clock just to make it a little bit more intense, okay?
Okay.
It's the Think Fast game here on 99.7 DJX. Kelly, name a false scent that begins with C.
A coconut?
Something you drink that starts with T.
T.
A mode of transportation that begins with a B.
Bus.
A breakfast food that starts with C.
Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
A body part that starts with E.
Ear.
Something you bring to school in your backpack that begins with B.
Book.
A penalty in football that starts with H.
High kick. Is that one?
Or holding. A place you go in the fall that begins with P.
In the fall. Pennsylvania.
Here, it's lovely this time of year.
Pretty trees, maybe?
A sport that starts with G.
Gigantic ball.
I love playing that sport. Gigantic ball. And finally, a part of your body that begins with P.
Potty place.
Body place? How about palm?
Palm, yes.
I mean...
palm of your hand.
Obviously palm.
Why is potty the first thing that hits
False scent that starts with C, maybe not coconut, maybe cinnamon.
Cinnamon.
Maybe, perhaps, yeah. There you go.
Or it should have been pea, pumpkin spice.
Ah, there you go. All right. Yeah. Well, that was the
That's
thing.
Difficult.
No, it's a difficult game. A little think fast, get your brain juices going.
Yeah, it's a timer that makes me anxious.
Okay.
And it hurts my brain to like immediately come up with some of those reasons. Some of them were not.
All right. Potty place is probably my favorite. All right, there you go. That is your Think Fast game here on 99.7 DJX. Taylor Swift on a little bit of a roll. 8 of the top 10 slots on the Billboard Hot 100 chart is owned by Taylor Swift. So there you go. She's having a year. Plus, Dancing with the Stars announcing its Taylor Swift theme night, where they're going to dedicate an entire night to the music. And the remaining couples will dance to the music of Taylor Swift. That's coming up on the 21st. So,
well, and the lead choreographer, I guess, for Dancing with the Stars also choreographed the Eras Tour. So,
oh, really?
Connection. Yep. And then they're going to be a guest judge that night. Yeah. And Taylor's actually performed like 3 other times on that show. She's got a history with the show.
Really?
Yeah.
To me, I feel like that. Okay, I was going to say, to me, I feel like that's like
Whoa.
Well, I think the last time it was season 15, we're in season 32 right now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was a minute ago.
Yeah, lots changed since then. All right, well, that's good. Hey, coming up next, I don't know who needs to hear this setting the bar story, and I hope no one listening has to hear it and think, oh, we weren't supposed to do that?
I'm choosing to think no one of our friends would ever do this.
However, Disney, especially the theme park workers, would kindly appreciate it if you'd stop doing this particular thing at the park, okay? And it's our Setting the Bar story coming up here in just moments on 99.7 DJX. Today, 76, some clouds, 81, near record high tomorrow. Setting the bar. Kelly, explain that to someone.
It's an example of what not to do or a situation we hope you don't find yourself in.
I hope you're not needing to hear this. However, if you can manage to make it through the day without making Disney create a rule because you can't use the potty like a normal person, then you're doing okay.
How are we using the potty?
Are people animals?
Apparently, yes. But how?
Okay, so there was this huge write-up just recently done by the San Francisco Gate, big newspaper there in California. Long-standing rumor that Disney parks, people are so desperate to keep their spot in line, they sometimes go number one.
No.
And?
No.
Number two.
In line?
Right there on the ground.
Come on.
And apparently it happens more than you think. And in fact, someone backed up that article on Reddit, saying they literally saw a parent let their kid drop a deuce while standing in line for Star Wars Rise of the Resistance. And then an employee backed him up, saying there were actually three related incidents involving number two that day in that line alone.
For that ride in particular? Is it that good?
Kids are not the only ones.
Oh, come on. It doesn't just
happen outside either.
Oh, that is killing some of the magic.
Yes.
A little bit. Oh,
I get that if you are in line for a very popular ride, sometimes it will take hours to actually get through the line. I get it.
I am not waiting for 4 hours in a line for anything. Sorry.
So
unless it's to meet Ryan Reynolds.
Here's the thing.
But this is ridiculous.
They say, look, we get it. We understand. Sometimes nature calls while you're waiting in line. What do? You don't act like a dang bear and just drop a deuce right there in line.
No, you find a magic maker and you say, I need to go make some magic in the bathroom.
Yes.
That's what you say.
You say, hey, I need to get out of line to use the restroom, and they will let you out of line and let you back in line. They would much rather do that than clean up your mess.
Yes. No. Yeah. Oh, gosh. Oh, no.
I cannot believe people.
And then if you are standing around watching this happen, do you say something?
Oh, my gosh.
I would. 1,000%. I typically don't like confrontation, but if I'm watching that go down,
you're like, excuse me,
I'm telling somebody.
Excuse me, excuse me. What?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
No. What's happening? No. Yeah.
Could you imagine being there at Kentucky Kingdom and just standing in line for the Himalaya and watching someone?
No.
Wow. I've got one more before I got to get on, but I can't wait.
Maybe the nerves get to you right before you're getting on the ride.
The nerves get to you.
it's an emergency.
Oh, no.
What do you do? Oh, gosh. Oh, no. I'd be like, my eyes.
Listen,
like Phoebe.
I do not want to turn this into a call-in segment where you reveal the wildest places you've had to let her rip.
No. No. No, that's not what we need at this time of the day. No. No. We're just gonna take this one example and we're going to just say, all right, let's just put it out there. Let's not do that. And we're gonna move on.
That is your Setting the Bar story here on 99.7 DJX.
Coming up on the Ben Davis and Kelly K Show.
All right, so hey, Jim taking part in the Movember mustache festivities at his work. Jim is a listener. However, Robert Hassenpepper, fake person, has to call him to give him some unfortunate news regarding a new policy. Okay, it's time for phone tap.
Louisville. Carnival is getting pranked.
Oh my God, who set you off to this?
Here comes another Ben Davis phone tap on 99.7 DJX.
Well, Claire says, hey, Ben and Kelly, you got to help me out here. My husband's celebrating November by growing a mustache.
Okay.
Normally, I find facial hair sexy on a man, but it looks like a small rodent died on his upper lip.
Oh, no.
Can you please give him a call for one of your phone taps and mess with him a little bit? Thanks. Love your show.
Yeah, so Jim taking part in that old Movember mustache festivities.
Uh-huh.
So Robert Hassenpepper has to call him, give him some unfortunate news.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Robert Hassenpepper is a figment of our imagination. This is a phone tap.
Hello, this is Jim.
Hi, Jim. Robert Hassenpepper, Human Resources. You mind if we speak for a few minutes?
Sure, of course. What can I help you with?
I understand you're participating in the Movember festivities by growing a mustache. Is that correct?
Yes, I thought I'd give it a try.
Okay. Well, how's that going for you? Got anything coming in yet?
Yeah, it's going out pretty good. What is this about again, though?
Well, just kind of wondering what's happening on your face there. Are you doing the Ted Lasso, the Ron Burgundy, the Magnum P.I.? What's going on there?
I don't know. I guess it's more like Magnum P.I. is getting pretty bushy there.
I see. Well, I'm here to inform you that we've instituted some new rules regarding facial hair here that you may not be aware of.
Okay. What kind of rules have you set?
Now, keep in mind, employees are allowed to grow whatever facial hair suits them, but we are going to need you to wear some sort of protective covering when you go to the lunch area.
Oh, no.
Are you, like a hairnet for my mustache? And how is that exactly supposed to help anything?
Well, I'm glad you asked. We actually have something here at HR that you can order called a mustache hammock. It's pretty new, but it hooks over your ears and it kind of goes underneath your nose where your hair is located.
You're kidding, right? I haven't seen anyone else wear anything like this, so this sounds, you know, pretty ridiculous.
Hey, don't shoot the messenger. I'm just doing my job. You know, state requires that hair be covered when you're around food.
Yeah, but this is an office. I don't even work around food. I sit in my cubicle all day long. There's no food around, except when I, take my lunch break and go to the cafeteria.
That's right. That's precisely why you need to wear it there in the cafeteria.
What? Are you kidding me? Oh, my God. This is not fair.
Listen, employees who work at Chipotle or Applebee's or one of those fine establishments, they need to wear one, too.
Because they work with food. I work in a cubicle.
Oh, settle down, Jim. We're not allowed to job discriminate. That's pretty serious.
You know what? This is totally stupid. You know what? I can tell you right now, I will not do it.
Well, Jim, you may want to reconsider, because if you are seen in the cafeteria area without the patented from HR mustache hammock, you'll be docked a week's pay.
Oh, what? Wow.
I am shocked by a whole week's pay for not wearing a hammock on my mustache. You know what? I guess I'm just going to pack my lunch, or you know what? I'm just going to shave, because this is not even worth the headache. Forget it.
Well, that's perfect. It's like killing two birds with one stone. Your wife's going to love it.
Uh-oh. My wife? What?
Yeah, she's the one who has to look at your Ted Lasso-ness and see all the food particles get lodged in it.
All right. Who is this?
Jim! It's Ben Davis over at 99.7 DJX.
I knew it. Oh, my God. I knew she would set this up.
Well, you know, I mean, if you didn't have a small rodent on the top of your lip, maybe it wouldn't be that bad.
But, I mean, all he had to say was, like, you don't have to do that at a restaurant when you sit and eat. I'm just eating. I'm not preparing the food. Oh, bless his heart.
Listen, when Robert Hassenpepper from HR gives you a call, so you're taken off guard.
I get it.
All right,
bless
that
his
is
heart, though.
Your phone tap. 99.7DJX. Kelly, do you remember who said, I love you first? Was it you or your husband?
Oh, gosh.
Or said the L word?
I think it had to be him, because I was always too scared to scare him off. by saying it first.
I love you. I love you. Love you.
Yeah, no, it's probably him.
I'm thinking about my wife and I want to say that she might have put it in a card first.
Oh.
But I think I said it out loud first. So,
okay, and then how long into the relationship?
Oh, gosh. I remembered I was living on Charles.
Wow. We're going back to where we were living.
I know. I remember I was living on Charles.
Put the timeline
my phone
together.
Number was 399-9194. And,
Oh, wow. Impressive.
Hey, thank you. I know. I just pulled that out of my head.
Yeah. Wow. That was a while ago.
Yeah, it was a while ago. But I do remember... it was a mixtape.
A mixtape.
It was a mixtape that had like a song by Ella Fitzgerald on it that was like, I think I'm in love with you type of thing. And so it was that.
That's how you said it?
And so it was kind of, no. She did it to me and then I said it, but it was like, it was tiptoed around. And I want to say I may have said, you know, I love hanging out with you.
Or I
love this about you.
Yeah.
I, you know, and you start kind of dropping the L word in places like around the person. Like, I love hanging out with you. I love spending time with you.
Uh-huh.
You know, I love all this. And so then finally, you know, it's like, you're right. You're right. It's that. You're dipping the toe in. You're just like,
that can be a make it or break it.
Yes, it really
like,
can.
You know, if it's too soon, they're running.
Well, and you have seen on, you know, sitcoms and on things like that, maybe even in your own life, where someone drops the big I love you and you're like, thanks.
See, nobody wants that
and
reaction.
You're like,
okay.
I'll just be over here.
I mean, I love you as a friend. Oh no, that's worse. Yeah, no. Oh gosh. It can be awkward. You hope it just kind of happens organically, naturally, and you're both on the same page about it.
100%. 100%. So what happens when I think one of you is there and the other one isn't quite there?
Do you get the other person there?
Yeah, how do you? Is it a red flag at this point, a year and a half in or not?
Oh.
Yeah. Group therapy coming up here next. And we're going to dive into Penny's concern.
Timeline's going to play a big part in this.
Timelines,
one.
I think. Yeah. The L word for sure.
When you need advice, come to Ben and Kelly. It's group therapy on 99.7 DJX.
Penny's reaching out. Good morning, Ben Davis and Kelly Kay and all your listeners.
Hmm.
I've been with my boyfriend for over a year and a half. He is amazing. Does all the great boyfriend things. Texts every morning, calls me every day, texts and FaceTimes and calls every night, plans things with me. He's involved with my kids' lives. I'm telling you, he is great.
That is great. Problem solved.
Giant butt coming here.
Oh.
He has never told me he loves me.
Oh.
I've said it once. It was kind of a lackluster response. Never said it again.
Oh, gosh.
I honestly feel he's very emotionally detached. Like, he went through a rough time before he met me. I honestly don't know how he kept his sanity. I know I need to have a conversation with him, but how? How do I make it not sound like a confrontation or an ultimatum? We rarely fight, and I don't want it being brought up during a disagreement because that's just childish.
Right.
I think about it every day that maybe I'm the problem and I'm just a rebound or a placeholder until the really special girl comes along. Maybe I'm not it enough for him to say it.
Aw.
Any advice is appreciated.
How early on? Do we know how early on she...
Year and a half.
No. How early on did she say, I love you to him and she got the lackluster response?
Not sure.
I wonder if that was early... And it freaked him out a little bit, and he just hasn't recovered. But yeah, I mean, that's tough when you've kind of put yourself out there and you're waiting on a response and you haven't gotten it. And
at a year and a half, I feel like I could get if he was spooked at maybe 6 months or something. But even then, like I think nowadays, 6 months, you should know, right? if there's a future there. And
I would think, yeah.
That was always my timeline.
Yeah. I will say I dated, you know, a few girls before my wife, but like I've only, other than my kids, I've only said I love you to her. You know,
that's special.
Well, I mean, okay, sorry, parents, yes, you know, that's
romantic
sort of stuff.
Love,
right.
That's,
yeah,
yes.
But romantic love to her. So I remember thinking in my head, you know, I want to not just throw that word or that phrase around and make sure that it's real before I say it. So maybe he is kind of in that same boat.
Yeah, Mike is saying on Facebook, a person carrying emotional baggage can impact them in so many different ways. There are triggers in life that with love, support, and time dissipate, but they can still be there forever. The fact that you see and understand this shows the amount of love you hold for him.
Yeah.
Have a talk. Tell him how you feel. Ask him how he feels and what you can do to help him feel safe. It's not easy. From a man that carried a ton of baggage from a hard life until I met the woman I married, she helped me with all my stuff.
Aww.
I promise you it's doable, and in the long run, we'll create an unbreakable bond.
Do you say those little phrases tiptoeing around it, like we were bringing up earlier in the show? They're just like, oh, you know, I love being around you. I love,
I love the way you are with our kids, my kids.
Yes, I love the way you interact with my kids. I love the way we FaceTime each other. I love those little texts that you send me every single morning.
Yeah.
And you know, there are a lot of people who are also bringing up, maybe he shows it in another way and maybe there are other things that you can kind of point out. But at the same time, as I'm even saying that, I think it should be obvious.
It should be. And it sounds like, you know, she is talking all about the things that he does and how involved he is in her life.
Well, that's a love,
kid's
isn't
life.
It?
Exactly. But. What, you know, I also understand her need to hear it.
Yeah. All right. Well, hey, I think if you were in this same situation as Penny, tell us your story about that whole love word and how maybe it was thrown out there, not reciprocated, what you did, what was the conclusion, how you got through it.
How'd you approach it again without, again, like she said, not feeling like it's an ultimatum or a confrontational?
Yeah, yeah. The last thing you want is for him to feel like, well, listen, if you don't say I love you, then that means we're done.
Yeah, he doesn't want to feel backed into a corner like he has to say it if he's really not feeling it, which, again, can be the risk of having a conversation like this.
This is what group therapy is all about. So your stories, 502-795-1997. We'll get to those next. How big of a deal is it that a boyfriend of a year and a half hasn't said, I love you? Penny has an amazing boyfriend. That is the issue. It's been a year and a half. He hasn't said those words. She thinks about it every day, worrying that maybe she's now just a placeholder for someone else.
Yeah, like the right girl. And so she's just wondering, all right, how do I bring this up to him without it sounding confrontational or sounding like an ultimatum?
Mm-hmm. There are several who are suggesting that patience is the key here, that that's something you don't want to force or rush or make him feel obligated to say. You want him to want to say it. So patience.
This is true, but we've been together for a year and a half.
Okay, think
How
back.
How much longer?
I was going to say, think back to, you know, you, Kelly. Year and a half in.
Uh-huh.
Those words haven't been exchanged.
Oh, that, no, that didn't
been,
happen.
Haven't been reciprocated. Like,
yeah,
you said it, and the other person hasn't said anything like that.
Well, okay, so there was a situation where it was said, but then kind of not said again. So that was weird, too, because it was like, OK, do you still or do you just like love me as a person?
Right,
but it's
right.
not that kind
right.
of love. And it was a complicated situation.
Right. Sure.
So because he had stuff. Right. Mm-hmm, and he knew he was trying to sift through the stuff and couldn't feel like he could fully
commit,
dive into us having a future.
I hear that.
So that was, yeah, and ultimately that didn't work out.
All right.
So, but yeah, I mean, once, you know, me and my husband were in that lane, it was all the way to the finish line.
How so?
Married. Married. Got married.
Because, you know, I mean, those words are easy to say after a certain thing happens.
I know. Kimberly said there is a lot attached to the phrase, I love you. Uh-huh. And plenty of people say that all the time and never meant it once.
Mm.
But actions speak louder than words. Does he clean the ice off your windshield? Maybe he brought home a breakfast cereal one of your kids mentioned was their favorite. Are there things he does for you that don't necessarily make your life easier, but shows he's always thinking of you? That could be the easiest way to really fully figure out how he feels.
Does he show you a YouTube video and really open himself up to seeing his inner thoughts and feelings?
Does he show you his favorite memes?
His memes, yes. Does he show you memes? Here, here's some Captain Crunch. I love you.
Okay.
I love this cereal.
No, but that is exactly, that is a very good point. Those little, you know, acts of love,
uh-huh.
you know, especially if we go to love languages and
yeah.
stuff, maybe that's acts of service is a way of showing love.
Sure. Okay, yeah, you're right. Maybe acts of service is his love language, and he shows it in ways like being attentive to your kids and
yes.
FaceTiming you and texting you and being there.
And maybe he doesn't fully know that she needs words of affirmation.
Yeah, so have we actually given her the tools to have this conversation with him, or are we just
saying... No, we haven't. That's what we need. That's what she needs from us. She needs us to, like, okay, how does she approach it without coming off confrontational or making it feel like an ultimatum?
Well, maybe I go back to, are we saying the word love in other ways? Me not saying I love you, but like I love this. I love this about you. I love this when this happens.
Well,
you know?
And here's the thing. How does he sign? Surely in a year and a half, they've gotten each other a card for a special occasion, right?
Mm-hmm.
Birthday, Valentine's Day.
Does he sign love on
how
the card?
Yes. How did he sign it?
Because, or does he just sign his name?
Yeah. That, again, a year and a half in, is a little weird. Like, you can't even write the word.
Mm-hmm. Well, we don't know that.
Right.
Right?
I don't know. It's sounding like he hasn't. I think she would have included that he's written the word.
But he just hasn't said it.
But he hasn't said it.
Okay, so yeah, I mean, I think, I mean, this goes back to those relationships and having to have those tough conversations where you're a year and a half in. Maybe it's like, hey, so what are we? Are we a thing? You know, and he's like, well, of course we are.
Do we bring to him the whole love language conversation? Like, hey, I saw this and wondered your thoughts.
And
to try to, like, figure out what he needs from her to feel loved.
Maybe
and
she needs
way
to figure out her love
him.
Language first. And
sure,
maybe
well,
it's... And it's, I don't know what all the love languages are, but, you know...
But I think part of it is words of affirmation.
Is,
she needs to hear it. And
right.
so that's a way that she can maybe tell him that's what she needs from him and then also find out what he needs from her. And maybe just, again, figure out the total true status of their relationship.
I mean, these
like,
are...
Does it have a future?
These are tough conversations to have for people who've been in a relationship for 10 years,
oh,
much
100%.
Less... 100%. I mean, so, we're not going to say it's easy. And look, if he is in it for the long haul, then... he won't be, quote, scared away because you're a year and a half in. I don't think he's going to be scared away a year and
no.
a half in. If this would have been like a week or two or three or a month, maybe. But a year and a half, I don't think he's going to be scared away. So,
but she does have a point in she needs to figure out, is he just staying because it's comfortable and it feels safe, but it may not be like what he thinks is the end all be all.
All right. So bring
and
up
if that's the case. She needs to figure out, are they going to be stagnant or is there a future?
All right. So bring up the love languages thing. And I would suggest peppering in the word love around things that he does.
To gauge his reaction.
Yeah. For sure.
And maybe get him a card thanking him for some of the things that he does.
Yep.
And sign it with
love.
You know, I love you.
Mm-hmm.
And see what he says.
Yeah. All right. Well, hey, good luck. I know that's not easy, but. Keep us posted on everything. That is group therapy. All right. Things I've done in the shower other than take a shower. Are you ready?
Yeah.
All right. Step in the shower with me real quick.
Did you have to say it like that?
By the way, when you're showering with a partner, are you do you trade off on who gets the stream of water and who gets the back of the shower?
You have to, otherwise one is freezing in the corner.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, you got to rotate.
You have to.
You got to do the rotation.
Yes. One is sudsing up, and then you
the other one's rinsing
you
off.
Need to rinse. Exactly. And that,
yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. But I get really salty, though, about, like, I need that time in the shower to fully be enveloped by the hot water.
Yeah.
I get a little salty if he's sure. going to come in and try to steal some of that from me.
Sure. I know. I don't need that. I don't need that.
Yeah.
That's right. You're start elbowing for position and everything.
Right.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, couldn't you have waited just another 5 minutes?
So things I do in the shower other than shower. I have in the past, I do every day brush my teeth in the shower. Yeah.
Do you just keep the toothbrush in there the whole time?
Yeah.
Oh, what happens when, like, at night, when you're not showering, you just reach in there and grab it and then put it back in the shower?
Yeah, yeah. Got? So you know, we have one of those, like, things that you can hook your toothbrush on. So that's what I do. I just hook my toothbrush in the shower and use it.
So you're using the shower water to rinse your mouth?
Yep. Sure am.
Okay. I need cold water
showering.
For that.
Okay, so brushing my teeth every single morning, using the shower. Obviously, use the restroom. We've talked about that before.
Are you doing that at the same time as you're brushing your teeth?
Now, listen, sometimes, yeah, got to be efficient about the whole thing. And it's easier to brush. I've tried to brush my teeth outside the shower and use the restroom at the same time. That doesn't work. That makes a mess.
I'm upset.
Because you're shaking like this.
No.
And you can assume how it's going, you know.
I don't like the mental pictures this conversation creates.
So a couple things. One, I'm brushing my teeth outside the shower, and I'm, oh, God, this is going to sound so bad.
This is so bad.
Wait, hang on.
It out loud, it's going to change your behavior.
Okay, wait. So I can't use the toilet. You know, when I'm brushing my teeth, if the shower's warming up right, you know, before I jump in the shower. So I just go and I peekaboo to the drain and I'm standing outside the tub or outside the shower, but I'm peekabooing into the shower and I'm brushing my teeth and doing my thing.
That
so anyways.
Is so weird.
All right.
That sounds so weird. But Bethany's like, must be a man thing. My husband brushes his teeth in the shower, too.
Yeah, you have to.
And Ryan agrees with you. Every second saved counts.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
we're people are in a hurry.
We're 3 minutes into this, and I've only gotten to brush my teeth.
Mallory says your wife is so embarrassed by you right now.
No, she understands. She knows. She knows. She married me. She understands.
The freak flags, and she signed
off. That's right.
On for
that's
sure.
right. She signed off on it. She knows.
Yeah.
All right. So there's brushing the teeth. There's going the restroom. There is the occasional shower beer that I'll have.
Shower beer.
Yeah. Yeah. This
is not when you're doing the toothbrushing.
No,
correct?
No. This
okay,
would be
that's another shower.
Yeah. This would be in the evening. The shower beer is when you're in the evening, and you're
shower.
Getting ready for going out and you got to kind of catch up. And so you do the shower beer and you set it on like the little ledge there on the
like
shower.
Your second shower of the day.
Or your first.
Okay. All right.
I have
you
eaten.
Have a lot of shelves in your shower, right?
No, I don't have a whole lot.
Okay.
I have eaten before in the shower. I have, I've obviously done that too.
Okay. All right. We don't need any more logistics with that. Okay?
All right. So what do you do? So there was this study that was done, and the things that you do other than shower in the shower are kind of fun. Darla, what's yours?
I have a 6-month-old son, and I shower him with me. That way, when I'm done, I don't have to get his bath out and do all that. Kill two birds with one stone.
Yeah,
that
see?
Is really efficient. And I'll tell you that my daughter and I used to do that so that I could wash her hair because there was a lot of it. And so, yeah, and that was, yeah, she and I did that together a lot.
How long did you shower with your kids before it got a little too old?
I would say probably maybe 8 or 9.
Yeah, I showered with all three of my daughters in a non-creepy way, obviously. I'm a dad,
sure,
right?
Sure.
I want to say it was probably like 3 or 4, and I was like, all right, we're done, you know?
Yeah, Jennifer used to shower with the kids too. It's just it's efficient. And Amber says she listens to murder podcasts.
Ah, love that, Jake.
I like to enjoy a nice cold beer in the shower.
Yes, see, okay. Right.
And all I bet you there's a lot of guys that will admit to doing it as well.
I admitted that. Yes.
Do it's we the need shower to be beer. Taking wine in the shower then for the
see,
ladies?
You could.
Cocktails? Yes. I feel like doesn't the warm water though like really amplify the effects of the drinks though? Okay.
Yes, it does, Kelly.
All right.
You can catch up a little faster because your pores are opening up and you're opening yourself up to a little bit more of that. The effects of the old shower beer.
See that I don't need any help with that typically.
Jessica says every Sunday I take my wiener dog in the shower. Like that.
One important word you need to change that entire sentence.
I know it. The word dog.
Dog was necessary.
The word dog was necessary. Yeah, she says I always wash the bed clothes on Sundays, so he has to be clean before he gets into bed. So.
All right. Taking a bath with your kids.
I have washed the dog in the shower as well.
Have you? So the falling water of the shower isn't traumatizing?
No. And I'll tell you, sometimes I have big dogs. I've had my Fiona, my old dog. She was big. Dougal, my current dog, he's big. So,
yeah.
Now, to be fair, I haven't washed Dougal in the shower yet because I don't know if he would respect.
He's not gonna stick around.
He would respect my areas.
Probably not. And I'll tell you, our little dogs, though, they get terrified if the water is still running in the tub. So we got to fill it up a little bit, use like a bucket. But they still are not on board with the program at all.
Amy,
they're trying anything they can do to get out.
Amy commented and just put a two. And
no.
I cannot in my brain.
No.
I cannot in my brain get to the point where you are saying that you go number two.
I don't think that's what she meant. Because she posted that when we were talking about how long do you shower with the kids, like what age?
Oh, what age?
Because
my brain went right there.
After two, we're done.
And you know, you're
that's what I'm assuming. She could mean what you think.
And you know, you're stepping on with the drain.
Come on.
Jay texts. Hells yeah to the shower beer. Best one is after work on Friday. Work, gym, nap, shower, and beer around 5. Weekend engaged.
Wow.
All right.
That's much.
I like that.
All right.
Good stuff there. According to, who was it? Self-care. It's
I'm
me time.
Angry. I'm angry with all of the mental pictures you now created in our brains of you doing all the things in the shower.
I have cleaned the tile in the shower as well.
I've done that.
Yeah.
I have done that. Because then you can see it. You get in there, like, especially like on a weekend later, mid-morning, the sun is coming through. We have a window in our bathroom now. It didn't used to have. And it just displays all the grime.
Right?
Like, ow. That's when you can see it, and I can't not scrub it. I can't not.
Yep. Just got a text. Watch TV.
Oh, you have a TV in the bathroom?
In the bathroom or in the shower? Well, you know, so in some of the hotels, you know, those mirrors in the bathroom, they have kind of the picture-in-picture. They've got, like, a little TV in the mirror. That is cool.
Fancy. I'd never get out. If I got distracted with watching stories.
That would be my thing.
Yeah.
That would be my thing.
I'd be in there forever. Jennifer watches the phone in the shower. Okay.
Well, wow. I knew a friend who had, she had a phone in the bathroom. And so this was back in the day where it was a cordless phone, but she would literally answer the phone while she was taking a shower.
Some things can wait. I need time for all the
Swifty Kim texted in. I used to know a guy who would smoke a cigarette in the shower because he wasn't allowed to smoke in the house.
Wow! There are logistics in play there because you can't get the cigar wet.
Yeah,
that's counterproductive.
Heather says, Kelly, women can bring booze in the shower too. I can't tell you how many times on the weekend I drank a Smirnoff.
Smirnoff in the shower.
All right, good stuff.
I like it.
Things you do in the shower other than shower.
These
I like
life
that.
Hacks.
You can jump in the comments and you can leave yours there on 99.7 DJX on Facebook if you'd like. Shower thoughts.
Thank you for not being shirtless for the segment.
There's still time, Kelly.
So a Florida deputy responded to a 911 call, surprised a woman who quickly figured out who in the house made that call.
Mm.
Her 4-year-old Gianni.
Mm.
He used a cell phone to make the call, said he just wanted a hug.
Is this your home?
Yeah.
Everything okay?
Yeah.
We had a 911 call.
Talk to my son. Gianni, come here. You called the police?
No, I wanted to give him a hug.
You called him to give him a hug?
As soon as he said, we got a 911 call, I knew. I knew immediately where it was coming from.
Oh, wow.
I mean, yes, she knew immediately. And listen, he got that hug. Mm. But then also the deputy gave him a gentle lesson on the real reasons
right.
you need to call 911 being
right.
emergencies only.
Yep.
So, and he was so, Gianni was so proud that he's like, I know your number, 911. I know how to call you
mm-hmm.
at 4. And he's like, yes, that is great. Here is why you need to call. You can see the video at WDJX.com.
At Ben and Kelly Show, great way to get a hold of us. DM us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Got this from Aaron.
So Aaron said, hey, Ben and Kelly, I have reached my wit's end, decided what the hey, I'll just ask you to.
Okay.
So a couple of years ago, my husband begged for a tarantula. And after a few too many cocktails, I bought him one for his birthday.
Oh my gosh, her drunken purchase was a tarantula?
Unfortunately, I realized I'm scared to death of spiders and have had buyer's remorse ever since. Mm. I have nightmares constantly about it getting loose and even had a panic attack when I saw it molting.
Oh.
No. What happens when... Oh,
well, it sheds its skin, right?
Yeah, I'll have to watch a video of that later. My husband won't get rid of the darn thing, and I've learned to ignore that corner of our living room. We just found out we're expecting our first child.
Congrats.
We're both very excited, but my husband intends to keep the tarantula when the baby arrives.
Okay.
He says it's no more dangerous than our gentle dogs.
Mm.
Our tarantula has fangs as well as the ability to fling its hairs, causing respiratory irritation.
That is a definite Google search right there.
Absolutely.
Yeah, 1,000%.
Right. She was probably looking like all the ways that
right.
tarantula is bad
right.
around a baby.
Yeah,
that's
right.
probably exactly what she... I worry about a toddler knocking over the cage or taking off the lid and reaching in there. Should we get rid of it? I'm hoping you say yes. If you side with me... How can I possibly get my husband on board? He is as stubborn as a mule. Thanks so much, and I promise this has been my craziest drunken purchase to date. LOL. Love y'all. Yeah, no, that's a good one.
What a moment.
Yeah.
She's like, man, my husband really, I will surprise her. You know what? How bad could it be?
Do they have those on Amazon? Could you buy, I don't know. Like,
I don't know.
Where do you buy a tarantula?
I mean, obviously you can.
Typically have those at the pet store?
Are
they good pets?
Yeah, I think you can get them at pet stores.
Tarantulas make good pets?
But I will say I kind of agree with her husband in that they're not that dangerous.
You're not helping.
I'm just saying they're big fuzzy spiders. They're just not dangerous. I've held a tarantula. Have you? You've held a tarantula before, right?
Yes, I did. And it was like the most terrifying like 5 seconds in my entire life. He's like, thanks so much. You can take it back.
Yeah, well, and they're very fragile, too, because those big boys, they're just big and they've got big puffy little abdomen. And if you drop them, then they can shatter. Like they that could be very harmful to them.
Uh-oh. I don't know if you should have said that. Aaron could cook up a little accident.
Well, you know.
If he's not going to agree.
Listen, if Kevin McAllister can take and grab a tarantula with his bare hands and uh-huh. put it on a person who's trying to rob him and his family's house.
Did we just jump to Home Alone?
Then you can keep a tarantula in an aquarium there in the living room.
You are not helping. Did you not read what Aaron wrote to us? She needs help in convincing her husband to get rid of it.
She said, if you side with me. I don't know if I'm siding with her.
You need to side with her. Listen, read between the lines. She needs us right now to side with her. Listen, I just Googled, do tarantulas make good pets? It says spiders do have feelings, but unlike a dog or cat, they won't bond with you. In fact, they won't even recognize you. They simply aren't hardwired to be companions to humans.
Okay.
So maybe that's part of her research. Maybe she puts together a little packet.
But it's like,
shouldn't keep the tarantula when we have the baby.
But the husband likes the tarantula.
Here's my next question. Is there like a man cave in their house to where the
place
tarantula,
where they can put...
Yes, out of the living room.
Okay.
Because right now it's in the living room and she's trying to ignore that section of the... So is there a more remote location in the house?
Okay.
And maybe a more secure, like, aquarium where you can keep him to where she's going to feel better that he can't get out, that the toddler, when the baby grows up a little bit, won't be able to free it accidentally.
Yeah, because the tarantula, that's going to live...
How long do they live?
Google that real quick.
Oh, how long do tarantula... Okay, there it is. Oh, God, no! 15 to 25 years!
It's like owning a cat.
No, that is too long. That is too long. That is a large commitment.
So you can't assume. Time. You can't assume.
You can't just wait for it to
that
die.
That the tarantula will just die.
Oh, that's not good news for Aaron.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well.
Oh boy.
I think it's safe.
Did you not hear her nightmares?
I know. She's having panic attacks about it.
Yes. That is not healthy for her sleep.
Let's try to move it to a different room, out of sight, out of mind sort of mentality, all right?
And see if that helps.
And
I wonder if the kind she bought is a Goliath bird eater.
I don't know.
I can go into a wormhole of the different types of tarantulas and try to... I'm starting to get anxiety.
Okay. So let's maybe suggest that we move the tarantula. And then tell your husband the panic attacks that you've been having.
Yes.
And suggest moving it out of sight, out of mind. So it's just in a different area.
Or to someone else's house to keep it for him.
Yeah, into a different area of the house where the tarantula can be.
Can Uncle Bob take it?
Maybe that can be... help. So, yeah. All right. If you want to comment and let us know your craziest drunken purchase, love to hear those.
I can't believe she bought it when she was drunk.
That's great. 502-795-1997. All right. Well, hey, good luck, Aaron. I love whenever on the show we can bring up the drunken purchases that you made here on the show. We just spoke with Aaron. She bought drunkenly a tarantula for her husband, freaking out now because she's pregnant and she didn't realize when she purchased it how deathly afraid of spiders she is.
Yeah, she's had, like, you know, panic attacks and nightmares and all the things. She's afraid that, you know, once the baby kind of grows up to toddler age, that maybe it could accidentally free the spider, all the things. Like, she's just scared, letting her mind go wild.
Yeah, so we're just kind of like, good luck with that. And some of the other drunken purchases, Megan said, I bought a 1980s Nissan...
Nissan?
Yes.
A car?
Yes. Asked the seller nicely to let me back out of it and offered to pay the relist fees on eBay. He did and didn't want the fees. I get the feeling he completely understood. Bought a car!
Oh, wow. Oh, my gosh. Thank goodness she was able to get out of that.
Ashton said, I made a bid on a writing pen made out of solid gold. The next day, I realized... And I didn't have the funds at the time. It was a few thousand dollars.
For a pen?
Yeah. So I was still winning the bidding. I made a fake account to outbid myself so I wouldn't win.
No way.
The fake account won. Downside was the fake account failed to pay, so the bidding automatically transferred back to me.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Oh, my gosh. That is crazy.
But at that point, though, you could just be like, well, I decided not to. I decided not to.
Yeah, I saw that I wasn't the winning bid. Right.
Yeah, so then I'm just going to back away.
Oh, my gosh. A friend of mine bought a boat. I knew about...
A boat?
Yeah. I knew about it when he sent me a picture a week later of him, said boat, with a bottle of rum. He didn't even know how to sail a boat, but figured his wife would be happy with him.
Oh, wow. Like, oh, honey, we're going to be boat people.
FYI, she was not as happy as he imagined. Oh my gosh.
That's a large purchase. Again, it's one of those, like, do you need to run large purchases by your spouse? Most of the time, Asia says stuff like that is the reason why I have a no phone policy whenever I'm drinking, LOL. Drunk me can't be trusted.
Oh my gosh. All of these car ones. Another listener said, bought the front end of a Volkswagen Jetta.
I'm sorry, back the truck up. Just the front end of a Jetta?
Yeah.
How do you do that?
On a car that I had at the time. At that point in time, I was pretty young, didn't even know and didn't even own any tools. And I'm not sure how I thought I was actually going to make it work.
It was like a big car part that she, oh my gosh. Yeah. How in the world do you find that to buy when you are drunk?
I don't know.
That is also amazing.
All right, well done. Well done, guys. So see there, Aaron, there's safety in numbers and sympathy in numbers as well. So you're not the only person to make a crazy drunken purchase.
No, but also I did Googled it a little bit more. And if there's a way she can figure out if it's a male or a female, she bought the females are the one that lived to like 25 years old. The males only last 7-8 years.
Oh, so it could only be an 8-year commitment as opposed to a 25-year commitment.
And we're a couple years in already.
Yeah, yeah, that makes it much better. Right.
I'm trying to help.
All right. Do this every hour throughout the morning. Kelly Kay.
So interesting, an unlikely crime-fighting tool emerged at a body shop in Akron, Ohio. A forklift ended up assisting in nabbing a suspected car thief. They used it to move a vehicle with the car thief inside. They realized there's somebody in there, so they kept him up in the air until the police got there.
They got, like, the forklift, and they had him, I'm not kidding, like, 20 feet off the ground.
They said they had him basically in the air, like, 20 feet trapped inside the car. He could see the guy inside the car moving around, and he said that they basically kept him in the air until we arrived.
Oh, wow. So I guess he couldn't escape because, you know.
Exactly. He's up 20 feet in the air in the car. And that is Alexander Funk. He's charged with trespassing, possession of criminal tools. He had a hacksaw. This was actually the third time he tried to steal a car from the body shop. First time they caught him, though. And the body cam footage kind of shows the officers talking to the body shop people and then back at the precinct telling the story of how the guy was up in the air 20 feet until they got there in the car on the forklift. So you can see that video, the footage, at WDJX.com.
Okay, this is a setting the bar story, Kelly, which is
an example of what not to do or a situation we hope you don't find yourself in.
Sure, this is a different type of pot of gold, but if you can manage to make it through the day without stealing a $6 million golden toilet, then you're doing okay.
Wait a second. My first question is, why are we making a $6 million gold toilet?
Well, this was originally on display at the Guggenheim in New York, which is, you know, a museum, obviously. It was an Italian artist who made it, and it was going around. And in fact, you could, it was a working toilet. You could actually wait in line to go and use it.
Shut up.
You had 3 minutes to do your business.
Oh, okay. Oh, wow.
So you couldn't dawdle.
At the Guggenheim, but you could use it.
Yeah.
It's like usable art.
Right. And it actually moved around to a couple different museums and things like that, right?
Oh, wow.
So
that is shocking. They allowed people to use it.
I know. That's the best part of the whole story.
When they're trying to make it art. That's insane.
I mean,
it's some bragging rights. Like,
right.
I just used a $6
million toilet. $6 million toilet. My tush just sat on $6 million toilet.
How luxurious. What kind of toilet paper are you pairing with that?
I know,
feel like it's
got
to be very special.
I know,
right?
You probably can't use the one ply. You got to use
it's the super ultra plushy. Yeah, the something. Plushy.
Right. Anyways, this went missing in the middle of the night about 4 years ago, and they have been searching for this toilet ever since. The unfortunate part of this is the toilet has probably been already sold and melted down for its gold.
However,
the thieves just got caught. That's why we are bringing this up.
Okay, so we know who did it, but RIP gold toilet.
Yes, that's right. So four dudes in England decided they were going to Mission Impossible this golden toilet out of the museum. And
it worked.
And it worked, yep. Exactly.
It's like an Ocean's 11 plot, right?
I know. and you know what? This type of thievery upsets me because this is an art piece that is going to be hard to replicate. And the fact that it was a working toilet that was going around that people could use, that's a cool thing.
Are you upset you never got a chance to use the $6
million
gold toilet?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, maybe. Do we? Is the artist still around? Can we make it?
I don't know, Kelly.
One?
I didn't read that far.
Oh, okay. You know what? You know what? We can one up it. Let's make a diamond encrusted toilet.
That wouldn't be very comfortable.
No, it wouldn't. You're right.
All right. Well, so again,
it's like, you know, maybe pave.
Again, if you can manage to make it through the day without stealing a $6 million golden toilet, then you're doing okay.
Oh, wow. Dang it. But we caught the criminals, so that's feel good, right?
No, it's not. Because the golden toilet's still gone forever.
Oh, dang it. They melted it.
All right. There you go. That's your Set of the Bar story on 99.7 DJX. Want to spring a little stupid fact of the day on you?
That depends.
What do you mean, that depends?
I'm always nervous.
Well, I'll tell you.
About this segment.
Listen, we have learned several things in and had several things on the show.
That I want to unlearn. I want to unlearn them. fear is based on. I want to unlearn it.
Yeah, you know what? Honestly, your fear should be recognized. Because this stupid fact of the day is where we find random things on the internet. We run it through a verification process. In that, I found it on two different websites, and I bring them to you as fact. So,
oh, okay. So just two websites. That's all it needs. And then you're like, okay, it must be true.
Golden check mark.
All right. I don't even know what you're going to say yet.
Stupid fact of the day.
We should just, behind the scenes, he hides these facts from me so that they can be organically revealed to me with you.
Stupid fact of the day. Depending on the brand of toilet paper.
Oh, God, here we go.
Oh, God.
Do you have to finish it? Can we just
I
stop
do.
There?
No, I have to finish it. We've gone this far. Depending on the brand of toilet paper you use. Fecal matter can travel through up to 10 layers. So if you use 2-ply, may not even be good enough.
Oh, 1-ply people, what are you doing with your life?
Washing my hands afterward, that's what I'm doing.
Oh, God!
That's what I'm doing. Let's be honest.
Why are they even making 1-ply? It's clearly not sanitary. It's not doing the job. We should stop producing 1-ply. I'm going to need 5-ply at the very least now.
So, 5-ply, I guess if you double it up, then, you know, you got your 10-ply.
Yeah, exactly. 1,000%.
Yeah, but who,
we're going to need at least
5-ply.
Who
in their right mind is just taking the 1-ply without flipping it over a few times?
Flipping it over?
Yeah, folding it upon itself.
How big of a wad of 1-ply do you need to
like
get feel as though there's enough of a barrier? That's my question.
I'm like a toddler when it comes to that.
Seriously.
Yeah, just grab, you know, enough.
Enough?
Yeah. Yeah, just I don't do a huge, huge, long thing. I'll do a small, like, little section, but I'll fold it over on itself a
You're
few
a
times.
Folder? You're not like a water?
Nah, I'm a folder. Kelly, okay. I'm a refined person. I'm an adult.
I wad it up. I'm not sitting there like carefully folding it.
No, I'm carefully folding.
Really?
Yep.
That could be another side conversation.
I am folding it neatly on my thigh.
Really?
Making sure the corners are nice and even.
Why not just make toilet paper origami while you're at it?
You know what? That is something
nice
I have not
shape.
Considered. Maybe
well,
I will. Maybe
next
I
time.
If I knew how to do origami, maybe I would be doing that.
Google it before you go in there. Google it while you're sitting there. Yeah. I don't know. It depends on how long you're going to take.
That's your stupid fact of the day. Depending on the toilet paper, fecal matter can travel up to 10 layers. So have fun sleeping at night.
At least 5-ply, please.
Wash your hands. And that is your stupid fact of the day.
Oh, my gosh.
On 99.7 DJX. You know, your fears were recognized, Kelly.
You know what?
I will at least acknowledge the fact that your fears were recognized.
We're going to take the internet away from you. This is what you're going to do with it.
Okay. All right. It's 99.7 DJX. A couple things coming up. One, you've got those tickets for Blink 182 with Emily all afternoon. She just discovered the band, and now she's got a fixation with them.
Are you kidding?
I kid you not.
Figuring out who they are?
Yes.
Really?
And she has a fixation with them, so she wants to send you along with her to go see.
Oh, young Emily.
Yes,
we
I know.
Love her.
I know. So she's in the afternoon. She'll hook you up with that. on 99.7 DJX. And then projecting to tomorrow on the show, we're going to try to get Al on the phone. And he legit is needing advice before he and this guy have some, quote, words.
Yeah. We need to stop him from a fight?
I don't know. I said, we'll try to get him on the phone to explain everything coming up here tomorrow as well. So a lot of stuff to catch up on the show with on the podcast, WDJX.com. Everything from the phone tap to the L word, when to throw that out, how often, when to pressure someone, when not to pressure someone.
And listen, if you're perusing and you kind of missed out on this hour of show, you can just go ahead and skip the stupid fact. Just skip that one. You don't need to listen to that one. You can skip it.
Well, we had showering surprises as well.
Uh-huh.
Which was fun.
Skip the stupid fact. I'm going to recommend.
We talked
the stupid fact.
Tarantulas and spiders.
We did.
Golden toilets.
Uh-huh. And we skip the stupid fact.
And your stupid fact of the day.
Yeah, no.
So a lot of stuff. All right. Anything else, Kelly?
I'm going to try to recover.
All right. Kelly's
hearing the stupid fact.
Kelly's going to take a bubble bath. It is International Merlot Day, so Blackberry Merlot on tap for her. And
I got my afternoon planned out.
There you go. Make sure you vote first, then do the Blackberry Merlot.
Right.
And we will talk to you mañana.
Okay, bye.